Now, the most treasured of all the ministry that Paul ministered and are mostly remembered in his prayer life is the Christians in the book of in this place of Philippi. And as you can see, from the sound in there in verse 1, therefore my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, means you want to see them over and over again in spite of his prison in the state in the Rome, in, at Rome. But he loved and longed for them. And to share the joy of remembering them and the crown of his ministry, because they were so helpful to him and encouraged him. And in verse chapter 1 also, look how he praised God. And this is a thanksgiving book of the Apostle Paul. In chapter 1 verse 3 it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. So there, in his heart, in his prayer. That's why the heart of the Apostle Paul is something to be followed up, something to study in terms of prayer. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Because you always remember them in prayer. That's why he's concerned for the other two members of the church. Syntyche and Eudeus are there for his concern for them, and encouraging the church and other workers alongside him to encourage them. And in verse 5 of chapter 1 said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So when Paul was struggling in reaching out to the community in Philippi, these fellow brothers and sisters, we don't know how many they are, but they work alongside him. They prayed together, and he prayed for them. That's why, and he knows that what the Lord did in their lives is expressed in verse 6, that being confident of this, and that is his conclusion because of his prayer for them, and being confident of my prayer for you, that's what he's saying, of this very thing, that he, which hath begun a good work in you, will fulfill it in the day of Jesus Christ. What's that he began? The salvation, good work of salvation that God alone did, and the good work of salvation, and he alone that he can do. So that is what he started among their lives. And same to us, what the Lord has started in us genuinely, he will surely fulfill it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. At his coming, at his second coming. And so we must be prepared for that. And now his concern for his other two sisters, Syntyche and Eudeia, it doesn't mention what was the disagreement, but there must be a very serious disagreement there. That's why he asked them to, I entreat you through fellow workers at the church, help these women, encourage them who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And he's full of rejoicing as well in spite of that, because he knows that God will always fulfill what he has prepared for them and his prayer for them. So that, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So we will focus on verse 6, be careful for nothing. But as we, before we will expound that, listen to this mind-opening statement that most of us, perhaps one way or the other, experience a deep level of anxiety or worrying days or months, and perhaps years. And to some degree, perhaps we have been affected by it. And this does not go away. The Bible never promise, even in verse 6, that God will remove us from this worrying and trying circumstances of our lives and painful experiences. He never promised that. So that in this world, it's just but normal to react with worrisome reaction to the events and situations that God allows in our lives. Because this world is sinful and we are part of this sinful world. And yet we are not of this world. We belong to a different world, which is the kingdom of God. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. But how do we handle or cope with such worrying moments or when anxiety begins to set in our lives? Perhaps maybe this week, or perhaps this week, you have, or previous weeks, and months, and even years, that continues to affect us. To look at the different question, at the different angle of this question, is there a biblical cure or antidote to worrisome situation or to our anxieties that are probably, most of it, are man-made? They are the one which we created for ourselves, but sometimes we are not aware of that. God allows them to happen for good. So in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to a Christian church, and therefore to the Christian men and women, exhort us to stand firm, and that is already expressed there in verse 5 of what we read. Stand firm, to agree in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, and to let that spirit given characteristic of gentleness that is should be evident to all the people around us, watching us, whether since from that time on until the day, in our day, until the Lord Jesus comes. He then goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything. Was this something impossible? Command or imperative? In one sense, it is an impossible imperative, but thank God the apostle does not stop at that. Rather, we see that he proceeds to show us what we should do when anxiety or worrying situation sets in our lives. Perhaps it may be this week, or perhaps some already have experienced weeks in the past, or even months, and until now. So, the Apostle Paul gives some antidotes to anxiety. In other words, the way to encourage ourselves as an encouragement, or as a cure to anxiety. First of all, let us ask ourselves the question, what is anxiety, by the way? The word means being concerned about someone or something. Something which are events of our lives, but sometimes the enemy of our soul uses someone to discourage us and to create the situation that may perhaps make us react in a way that will be anxious. It will probably be a positive and favorable outcome or sense, or it can become a negative one with unfavorable outcome. This same word is used by the Apostle Paul favorably with reference to his assistant Timothy, concerning whom he writes, "For I have no other like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." That is in chapter 2, verse 20. The word concern in that verse is the same word that is rendered as anxious or worry in Philippians 4, 6, which I already read. Take notice, what a remarkable testimony the Apostle Paul gives concerning Timothy. He knew that Timothy could be concerned or anxious in a favorable sense about the Philippian believers. But the word also has the unfavorable sense of being anxious, worrying so much, or having an undue concern over someone or something. So this misunderstanding between Syntyche and Eldias is a big concern as well on the Apostle Paul, and also as expressed and reported by Timothy to him. So Timothy's concerned, and Timothy reported that to Apostle Paul, and he's concerned as well. So this worrying and due concern about someone or something, let's pick up some example in the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus says to us, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." That is illustrated in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 25. Our Lord goes on to say, to show to us why we should not be anxious about such things. God cares and provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And we who are His people are of more value to Him than these things. Therefore, we hold not to be anxious, because God cares for us. That's the thing, the positive thing that we all sometimes forget when we are immersed with so much anxiety. God cares for us. Rather, we ought to seek first the kingdom of God. And that is what God is teaching us, and His righteousness, in Matthew 6:33. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 to 42, which was the message this morning. And praise God that He pointed that out. So He said, the Lord Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are so anxious. You are so deeply involved about this work in the kitchen and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion," the Lord Jesus said, "which will not be taken away from her." Here is the Lord Jesus engaged in teaching the people the words of eternal life. And what is Martha is doing at this moment? He is presented with such opportunity, that is, with the living Savior. He is actually the Lord of all creation. She is anxious about many things, but not the one thing that should have been concerned, that she should have been concerned about, which was the well-being of her soul. Martha is, of course, not alone in this experience. There are many who neglect the worship of the Lord's Day, which includes the hearing of the preaching of God's Word, for things which, in comparison, are of secondary importance. The problem of anxiety or worrisome situation has to do with our own hearts and minds. In Philippians 4:7, we'll see, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ." Once again, the Apostle Paul prescribes antidote. When it is applied to our anxiety, the Apostle Paul says that God's peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There are many things in life, and that involves me as well. Everybody are involved, whether from all around the world. There are many things in life which we can control, but none of us are able to control our hearts and minds. Do we find this to be true of our experience? Of course it is true. And some of us are actually experiencing so much difficulties on this. Regardless you are a member of the church or even a minister, an anxious person is uneasy. He's very uneasy and finds his heart and mind, as it were, on overdrive. He's just so involved about so many things, and yet he could not get away from it. In such state, the person cannot sleep, but simply walks around and continue to move on in life in an agitated state. Such experiences of anxiety are caused by our own circumstances. For example, a man whose business is not doing well is losing more money, and that is that the trading world is, and the small businesses in this trading world is also affected by this. So he becomes so anxious and begins to think the worst, that the money he invested, less and less is coming in. He put a lot out, but less and less is coming in. And so the business is going to be on the brink of bankruptcy. And of course, he will apply to the government for bankruptcy. I heard a young man who found a small growth in his body and immediately thought, oh, it is a cancer. He was certain. He was certain he was going to die, because he has learned that somebody died of cancer because of small cysts. In fact, my sister has a big cyst, but it was removed successfully. But once the growth was removed, a biopsy showed that it was only a benign cyst. An anxious person is being controlled or mastered by his or her heart, her own heart and mind, when you are so immersed about it. And of course, you can blame them, because cancer is such a very killer disease. And we are all, you know, all the news about our friends, and it's a common killer disease. Depending upon the depths of one's anxiety, a person may find it difficult to concentrate. Such a person can hear you speaking to him, or be reading the Word of God, or sharing the Word of God, but he's not listening because his heart, or her heart and mind, is elsewhere. We read in the Bible on Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety or worry in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word encourages him, isn't it? So when you have worry, don't let that worry weigh you down. So the next question to ask ourselves is this: what is the antidote to anxiety, which Paul tried to suggest in what we read in verse 6? What should we do when anxiety sets in? Paul's counsel is, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Those are three. In everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. And then let your request, that's number four, be made known to God. Here, what the apostle does not say is also more important as was what he does say. He does not say, first of all, stop being anxious. The thing you fear and are worrying about may never happen. But the one thing who is anxious thinks, this thing I fear could happen. Then what? Then perhaps the person will continue to worry and worry and worry. There may be a few who are able, by their sheer willpower, to suppress their anxiety. They go out drinking with friends and make happy-go-lucky group of friends. But the anxiety comes back, isn't it? And that's what the world is experiencing nowadays. And there might be some of God's people as well who are in the circle, ambitious circle of anxiety. Listen to this. But this does not mean that they are free from their anxieties when they repress their anxiety by drinking or perhaps going happy together, perhaps even going on a holiday to escape. But it comes back, because it's not seriously being dealt with. This vicious cycle continues to affect them internally. So the word for this is called repression, repressing. The problem is there, but they are not willing to face it squarely. And we are told that this can often prove to be worse than the anxiety itself. So what then does the Apostle Paul tell us to do when we become anxious? We are, first of all, to pray, number one. The Apostle Peter provides similar counsel when he writes of casting all your anxieties, all your fears on Him, that is on God, because He cares for you. Oh, says someone, I have tried prayer many times. It did not help me. Have you really followed the apostolic prescription which we just have read? I'll repeat it again before you. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at the resulting one in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the person who says, I've tried prayer, did not help me. But the question to that person, and perhaps that you may probably experiencing the same thing with that person. Have you really followed this apostolic prescription? Well, we need to understand that at times we can think that we are praying, yeah? We are asking the minister, we are asking our brothers, perhaps writing them, calling them, please pray for me. And we are praying, perhaps, as well, when we are not really praying at all. Listen to this. Sometimes, because of the state we are in, we are so immersed in this worry, we may be uttering words in our prayer, but in reality, all we are doing is turning the problem over and over again in our minds, with the results that our anxiety increases. At that point, what do we need? We need to be counseled to stop praying in that way we have been doing. We need to be instructed again, or we need to open again this prescription of Apostle Paul and concentrate on meditating on it. We need to be instructed again concerning what the apostle means when he writes, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, keep us from such unworthy keep us from unworthy dilemma of trying to escape from allowing ourselves in continuing experience of this. And so, what is the result when we continue to experience this thing? Well, the Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, in this regard, we must actually keep ourselves in that prescription. When Paul says, do not worry, does he mean that in the midst of our concern and anxieties, we are to thank God? Are we supposed to thank God? Some people, or many Christians, find it hard to thank God when they are facing these difficulties, despite what Paul says, do not worry about anything, but by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, and make your request known to God. So with thanksgiving, is that what Paul is really saying? Some Christians are actually worrying, and perhaps with negative response when friends or even pastors will say, why worry when you can trust God? Oh, that's too real. That's too simplistic, you know. That's too simplistic, brother. I have prayed and prayed, but nothing happened. But that's what Paul really tried to counsel us. Yes, that's exactly what a conscience has to do. In everything, we are to pray. When we pray, we've got to really give to God everything. And then leave it in the hands of God rather than worrying. Okay? And supplicate. And do so with thanksgiving. So how are we to be thankful when we are facing this worrying situation? Well, we must remember that we are ever the objects of God's everlasting love. We forget that we are already possessing the great inheritance we have in Christ. And somebody put it, when we have in Christ, when we have Christ in our hearts, we have everything. We possess everything that He possesses, including the power that can transform our minds. The transforming power of our mind is what verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was for us that He gave up, our Heavenly Father gave up His only begotten Son to die on the cross. That is one thing we got to praise God for and thanks God for. Sometimes our overpowering worry prevents us in thanking God for what He has done on the cross. And we slightly mention thanks for what He has done for us, but we magnify before God, oh Lord, please help me. But we fail to recognize that God, what He's waiting for is not to remove us from that situation, but to praise God for what He has done for us. So in everything, we have to pray with supplicate. And we must remember that God's everlasting love is an object of His everlasting love is every one of us. And He gave His only Son, our Lord Jesus, to die for us on the cross. Our Savior was wounded for our transgressions as well. And He was pierced for our iniquities. How important for us to remember that whatever our circumstances, we are in the care and keeping of our Heavenly Father. We forget that easily when worry settles our minds, that we are in the best care, in the best hand, which is our Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never permit us to encounter anything which was not designed in His love for our good and for His glory. Again, Romans 8:28 applies to this. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. Even the enemies of our soul, when it is pressing us so much, creating situation to worry, God can work these things for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And then another thing is requests. This is the last thing mentioned by the Apostle Paul. Let us read it again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It is an encouragement for us to open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Notice that the Apostle Paul tells us to make all our requests known to God. Although He knows our every need, we have to call unto God. He is waiting for His children to call unto Him. I experienced this, you know, when I was in college. I had to ask and beg my dad and my stepmother for transportation, because I am a bit ashamed to ask them every day for some 3 pounds or maybe 1 pound for that matter. And my dad says, look, you're a bit late now. What's escaping you? I'm a bit ashamed, Dad. But why did you not tell me? Tell me of your need, he said. And that is what is wrong with us. God knows our need, but we should, God, our Father, still wants us to request Him, ask Him of our needs. And I recall this situation with my dad while I'm reading this text. It is folly on our part to hide anything from our Heavenly Father, who is all-knowing, omniscient, and present everywhere. Therefore, we should not go back to church and pray so that we could commune with God. No, we can go on our knees in our home, in our closet. And also, we need to remember His omnipotence, His power available to us, that He can transform anything for good. I'm saying again the echo of Romans 8:28. So the Lord is fully acquainted with all our needs. Yet He called us to make our requests known to Him. Having stated that, we must still ask what we should request of the Lord. We may feel that we should ask the Lord to remove the circumstances that are causing our anxiety. Have you ever experienced that? Lord, please remove me from this anxiety, from this situation. I think one way or the other we do, isn't it? In the past, and perhaps even now. And for our greater, discouragement, the situation increases. Because we are actually facing our dilemma in the wrong direction. However, in the promise of Philippians 4:7, which follows, read it again. Be careful, says in verse 6, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we are not told here that the Lord will remove us from the worrying situation, which perhaps we are hoping from the Lord. But that's not what His promise is. But we are told that His peace will garrison us. It will guard us, our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that true? Right there, we are given what we might request of God. What is the request? Lord, please guard my mind and my heart from this unnecessary worry so that the peace promise will settle. Because that's what He promised. Peace. In other words, we should request that the Lord would truly guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, irrespective of whether God chooses to remove the circumstances or not, which causes us to worry. God, in His grace and mercy, He will do so in His appointed time. So in addition, we might request that God will also change us, that we are enabled from now on to trust Him and not to worry. That should actually be a plus to allow the peace of God to guard our minds and hearts and to be teachable. That's what the Apostle Paul saying, being ever confident not only of His love, but of His wisdom and goodness. I noticed that the supplication, which is in verse 6, I missed, but let me just tell you a bit about that. What does supplication mean? It means more than asking or requesting something. It presupposes a consciousness of our need. We have a need before God. That's why when we supplicate, we are thinking a lot of many things, and yet we don't realize we need something. We need something. God wants us to be in that state of need when we come to Him to supplicate. We must sense our sense of inadequacy and of the sense that God alone is able to supply our needs. David, for example, prayed in Psalm 86, verse 1, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Here is the attitude which we should supplicate in Psalm 86, verse 1. Crying before God about our helplessness, that is the only one who is able to deliver us and to supply that need, that poor situation and needed situation of our lives. And in conclusion, are we anxious? Of course we are. I am anxious in some ways. sometimes when the situation, it depends upon the nature of the situation we face in. And thus, sometimes we create them and we forget to do this antidote in verse 6 about be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, with request. Let your request be made known to God. So if we are anxious and we are faced this week, and even tonight perhaps, then come back to these words of the apostle again and do what he tried to counsel us. Not only the Philippians brethren who are so precious in his heart while being in prison, imagine he expresses that concern for them even though he's in prison. The late William Hendrickson wrote this. William Hendrickson is a writer of many books, which are at present being bought at a low price in Christian bookshop. The man of trust and prayer has entered that impregnable, that means that cannot be touched because we are surrounded by God's presence. So the man of trust and prayer has entered that impregnable citadel from which no one can dislodge him. And the name of that fortress is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. No wonder Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who always strengtheneth me. That proves what the apostle says. And therefore in the end, apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. The name of Christ is so precious to him because it's the source of power, inspiration, and enrichment to the soul. Brethren, let us be like Paul. And let's listen to what this writer says, which he himself, Hendrickson, calls to Jesus Christ day by day, moment by moment. And he's preaching him. Let's preach him. Because if we don't preach him, the value of Christ to us, people does not know. So we must go out and share with others and prove to them what he has done to our lives. We should not be worried what memory verse you should, because the Holy Spirit, you should say, the Holy Spirit will bring to memory what the Lord Jesus has taught us. You have to prove to this world that Jesus meant so much to us. He died for our sin. We are under his loving care and he watches over us. And that which he started in us, we will surely fulfill it in the day of his coming. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then lastly, the wise Christian, stated this in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and he is always safe. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pause for a while tonight. Before we sing our last hymn, and let's reflect on this verse 6 and 7. Shall we read it again silently? Perhaps we should read it together. Shall we stand up? Let's read it with feelings. Okay, and then we'll read 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Let's meditate upon it before we close. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember, God never promised to remove us from this difficult situation. But he promised that our request should be made known to God. And then help, what we should contents of our prayer, our request is this: Lord, keep my mind and my heart through the peace of Christ. Because when we say that, we are trusting what the Lord can do, not what others can do. They can pray for us, but the Lord ultimately is the one to keep us, our hearts and minds, in peace. Let's remember that, dearly beloved, and may God be magnified and glorified as we face this week battles with His promise. Amen.